say hi to somebody. I can probably say hi to each one of you. Hi, Valerie. Hi, Gail. And hello to you at home, watching online, and I would say grab a cup of coffee. I prefer the sparkling apple soda myself on ice. And we have a lot of room in the sanctuary, so if you're at home watching and you're wondering, everything is very safe. I'm not wearing a mask because I'm up here, but everybody's wearing masks and we're sanitizing everything. Tonight there's a lot of room in here, so if you feel compelled to come to church and you're wondering about it, well, we want you to come if you want to come. So I just thought I would bring that up. And a couple people, say hi to my buddy Johnny out there in Reno Valley. I want to say hi to my daughter, especially because she gave me my COVID-19 haircut last night. I was looking like a wild animal, and she tamed the beast. And thank you for that, Sarah. So tonight, you know, I'm always excited to be able to come up and share with everyone. And there was a message I felt like God was giving me, and I wasn't sure about it. And, you know, I mentioned it to a brother, and he said, oh, it sounds to me like God has given you that message. So I said, well, that sounds like confirmation. So tonight I want to share something with you. You know, Christmas is what, 9 days away? It's the 16th? Yep. 9 days away. It's the 25th, Christmas Eve, the 24th. It's really moving fast upon us, isn't it? Of my favorite holidays, I like Easter. I like Christmas. Easter, I think, you know, it's much more maybe an emotional event. But, you know, we have Good Friday, and there's kind of the sorrow that comes along with that. Where with Christmas, it's all just happy. And so I think I'm going to pick Christmas. I think Christmas is my favorite holiday. And, you know, I saw some things, heard them, and then I saw them that kind of disturbed me a little bit. Now, we've got this governor in New York. Name's Cuomo, I think. And I saw him come on months and months ago and say, well, the virus has slowed down, but I don't want you guys to start saying it's because of God, because God had nothing to do with it, and it's all because of what we've done and how we have, you know, social distance and all this stuff. So don't be giving God any of the credit. And I was like, whoa. Buddy, you better be careful. You know, there's people in the Bible that have done that kind of stuff. It didn't work out good for them. But then the other day, I heard him say something, and so I watched it online, and he had this news conference, and it was a pretty long news conference, and he had Dr. Anthony Fauci on there. And when he got to this one point into the news conference, the picture of the Grinch came up there, and he began to play that Grinch music. And basically what he said was, when you hear a Christmas carol, think of the Grinch, because COVID-19 is the Grinch, and he's basically saying Christmas is canceled. And I heard it on the radio, somebody talking about it, so I had to go on YouTube and find it, and sure enough, that's what he did say, you know. So, you know, I think there's an effort by the secular society that we live in to cancel Christmas because of the things that are happening, as if it's just another day on the calendar that we can just somehow cancel it. Now, in the world, we know what Christmas is represented by. What's the number one thing we think the world thinks of when they think of Christmas? Who? No, Santa Claus, of course. You know? I mean, and the reindeer, right? And I mean, I wrote some things down. All of them aren't bad, you know, Christmas trees and candy canes and eggnog and, you know, lights and decorations. I like lights. I got a nice nativity in my front yard. It's awesome, and it's lit up. And then, of course, there's mistletoe and maybe the annual employee Christmas party. you know, maybe a Christmas bonus. You know, that's kind of the things that the world associates with Christmas. Or maybe they're just bummed out because they think they got to buy somebody something. But, and look, you can cancel some of those things. You can cancel Santa. But I'm telling you, you cannot cancel Christmas. So tonight, our topic is really going to be on the true meaning of Christmas, I think. And the three things that I came up with that I wanted to talk about are hope, joy, and peace. Now, when you think of those three things and the things that are going on in our world today, how important are those things to this world during the circumstances that we are in? Hope, joy, and peace. I mean, so what I want to encourage everyone tonight, first of all, is to block out all the things that you're hearing. I tell you what, I don't even watch Channel 2, Channel 4, Channel 7. I don't watch any of those news programs because they just come on and all they want to do is just gloom and doom you. Okay? So, you know, block out all the things that the world is saying about Christmas in 2020. Instead, tonight, we're going to focus on the true meaning of Christmas. You know, as a church and as followers of Christ, I think we need to celebrate the birth of our Savior and not to let these other distractions stop that celebration. In fact, make that celebration even more alive. You know, because look, they can restrict our lifestyle. They can make us wear a mask. They can do these other things. But we can't let that affect who we are inside and what we believe and our hearts. Okay? And sometimes if we are too immersed in some of that stuff, it can affect us. We need to be immersed in this. And we need to remember what Christmas is. So tonight, we're going to focus on what Christmas means to us. And, you know, what that does, it's just another way of reminding us that God is in control of everything. Okay? I mean, every situation. And He's the same God today as He was 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. Same God. And nothing is too big for Him. So tonight we're going to focus on the true meaning of Christmas. And hopefully it's going to carry with us all the way into the Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And when those things that are happening around you and you hear of these different ways of, oh, it's not going to this, or you know what? Think about what we're talking about tonight. Remember what Christmas really means. And block out all that stuff. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for those that are here tonight. I pray for those people that are watching at home, Lord, that you know they would be tuned in, that they would be really focused on the message of Christmas and what Christmas really means. And Lord, we know that You are the God of Christmas and You want to bless it this year just as You do every year. So bless our study in Your word tonight, Lord. Open our hearts and our minds to who You want us to be in Christ on Christmas 2020. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so if you want, turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Now, I always tell my wife I'm going for 40 minutes, and I always wind up being up here for an hour, so I'm shooting for 40 minutes, I promise you. Okay. First thing I want to talk about is hope. Now, we know that the world places its hope in many things. Name one.
Money.
Hey, that was the one I put first. Money. Okay, or wealth, right? Or stuff, right? Material things. The stock market. Ooh, look at the stock market go. Oh no, it's going down, it's going up. Or how about a political party or candidate? Right? We're seeing a lot of that. Or how about even a vaccine? It's all about the vaccine. Okay. Or even a mask, right? But when you think about all those things, there's one thing they have in common, is that they're all temporary. They're all temporary. Now, so the world places its hope in temporary things. Now, in Jesus' day, the Jews were ruled by the Romans, weren't they? And the Jews were looking for the Messiah. But the reason they wanted the Messiah to come more than anything else was that they wanted him to come and beat those Romans up, you know, so to speak. He was going to come and, you know, he was going to come riding in, and man, them Romans were toast. And, you know, there's a lot of preachers and people, there's preachers that preach it and there's people that think it, that somehow Jesus is their little genie of some kind. That's what they want Jesus to be. They want him to be someone that gives them what they want. Okay. And instead, when Jesus came, the hope that he brought was totally different than they had anticipated or that they even knew. You know, and it was, the Bible calls it a mystery. It was a mystery, as it is a mystery to many people today. So when we're in Colossians chapter 1, go to verse 26, because it talks about the mystery. It says, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to him, to his saints. So it's a hidden truth that had been hidden. To them, the saints, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. You know, we're talking about hope. We used to sing that song. He lives, he lives, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. You guys remember that one? He lives, his breath is in you. The hope that we have is in that one day we will be glorified with him. And we're going to talk about how Christmas is part of that, because 2,000 years ago, Christmas was the beginning of that hope. That little baby, now we know the Bible tells us that God had planned that hope way before he even created the earth. But Christmas was the physical manifestation of that hope. And that's why we celebrate it. Now the Jewish leaders and the teachers of that day, they were looking for the Messiah. They wanted him to come in. And all they needed to do was look at Scripture and look for the prophecies that spoke of the Christ, and they would have known. I mean, if you were looking for him, what questions would you be asking? When's he going to come? Where's he going to come? And how? You know? And we know that the Bible answers all of those questions. In Malachi 5:2, it says that he's going to be born in Bethlehem. That's the where. In Daniel 9:25, it gives us the when. It takes a little figuring out. It's written kind of, you know, and I don't want to say in code, but it's doable. We do it today. And then Isaiah 7:14 talks about to whom? A virgin. Okay. So all those things were laid out in Scripture. If those guys were looking for the Savior, for the Messiah, they should have known. They should have been lined up in there waiting. I mean, God showed some wise men a couple years later. Now, here's the thing. The fact that God foretold these things hundreds of years before they happened. Isn't that amazing? That fulfilled the truth according to his word, didn't it? So what that does, we know this happened, and we see God predicted it all, even though these guys didn't figure it out, that strengthens our hope in God. Because there are a lot of other promises and a lot of other things contained in God's word. And if he is able to tell us these things, his word is true. And so Christmas confirms the validity of God's word to our hearts. And that gives us great hope. And it's not like I hope it'll happen. Okay? Evidence of things hoped for. Okay? We see the evidence. Now, So Christmas, it reminds us of the truth of God's promises and that we can place our hope in Him. The fact that God was able to put all those things together and make it happen the way He said it would, that gives us great hope. Now, 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul refers to the Lord Jesus Christ as our hope. In Titus 1:2, it says, "We have the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began." He promised it before time began, but He brought it to pass beginning on Christmas. Now, if you turn over to the book of Titus, it's right after Timothy. Wow, my pages in my Bible, they're so tore up. I have a hard time. Okay, so in Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Now, wait a minute. Jesus Christ already appeared. That's what Christmas is about, right? But that's not what He's talking about, is it? He's talking about Jesus coming back, coming again. Okay? And you know what? If God promised He was going to come the first time, and He even told us when, well, don't you think we can have great confidence that He's going to come again? Because God says He is. And for those of us that put our faith and our trust in Christ, man, that gives us great hope, doesn't it? Because we know that no matter what's happening to us today, no matter what kind of virus is hitting us, or, you know, who the president is, or what our health situations are, whatever they are, you know, one day we're going to go be with Him. And He's coming back to get us. And now we may not be here when He comes back. It may be after we're spiritually with God in heaven. But it could be right now. Because the Bible says no one knows the time. But it also says He is coming again. In fact, it says it right there. Blessed hope and glorious appearance. Now, Christmas is an opportunity. It's a great time. We can relay the hope that we have to other people, especially in 2020. Because there's a lot of hopeless people out there. I mean, they don't have the hope that we have. And all of these things, and they're watching Channel 2, Channel 4, Channel 7 simultaneously. And all that stuff's going in there. And by the time they get done watching all that, they're a nervous wreck. And they're afraid to walk out their front door. And then they see us. "Well, you sure don't seem like you're having a lot of problems." Well, you know, let me tell you about the hope I have. Let me tell you about Christmas. Let me tell you what Christmas means to me. You know, I probably told you guys this story before, but in 2006, when we were in Africa, John and I went to the maximum security prison. It was a very surreal experience. And they put us in these big chairs where our feet didn't even hit the ground. It was kind of like, I remember looking over at John, his feet were doing this, mine were doing this. I was like, and they had little chairs there, but they put us in the big chairs, man. And they wanted to hear from us. And I figured, they want to hear from John. They don't want to hear from me. Oh, no, they wanted to hear from me. And I thought to myself, what am I going to say to these guys? And then I don't want to say it hit me. I want to say God hit me with a word for them. And the word was this: you can be outside of this prison, free essentially, and you can be in bondage. Or you can be in bondage to this prison and you can be free. That's your choice. Okay. And you can be locked down by COVID and free. Okay. And that's my message. It's like, They can lock you down, but they can't take away your freedom in Christ. So Christmas, it's a time that reminds us of our hope. And it represents the earthly beginning of that hope. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is joy. Now, in the world, people, they search for joy, don't they? And quite frankly, some of the things that people find joy in are the things that God created for us to enjoy, right? I mean, families. I find joy in my family, our friends, relationships, God's creation. You know, I told you guys before, we have a cabin, how amazing it is to go up there and just melt into nature. You know, God's, just the stars are amazing up there. But then this time of year, the snow, and as it falls on those trees, and I mean, it's just so beautiful. It's very joyous, okay? I mean, sunset, man, sometimes me and my wife will be at the beach or something, and that sunset, it's just so awesome, you know? Or maybe just walking on the beach. You know what? All those things can bring us joy, right? But just like the same things that bring hope to the world, the things that we're talking about here that bring joy, well, they're temporary, aren't they? And in fact, they're totally dependent on circumstances. I mean, if you got a bad sunburn and you're watching the sunset at the beach, you're not feeling no joy, you know? I mean, it's all about your circumstances, okay? Christmas is a reminder to us that our joy in Christ is not dependent on circumstances or situations. It's found in Christ. Let's turn to John chapter 15. In this chapter, Jesus talks about his relationship with believers. This is the chapter where he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." He says in verse 4, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither you unless you abide in me." So he reminds us, he's the vine, we're the branches. We abide in him. In doing so, we will bear much fruit. As we live in Christ, Christ will come out of us, basically. Now, if we look at verse 9 in chapter 15, it says, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." And why am I telling you all this stuff? That my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. See, the Bible tells us the joy of the Lord is our strength. So as we abide in Christ, he fills us with that joy. As we are his hands and feet, then that joy comes out of us. Now, James chapter 1 tells us that we should count it all joy when we fall into diverse or various trials, knowing that the testing of our faith produces patience, and that when patience have its perfect work, we'll be complete, lacking nothing. Now, count it joy when you're going through trials. Do you know anybody like that? I'll tell you what, I do. He's not with us now, he's with the Lord, but his name was Art Pena. And I'll tell you what, that brother, God bless you, Cheryl, and the family, we're praying for you. But that brother, if anybody exemplified that scripture, that was Art, because for 15 years he had ALS. And that's something where when you get it, they tell you 2 years, you're going to probably get 2 years. But the Lord had different plans for Art. And I think a lot of it was because of Art was in Christ and what his attitude was. Because he had joy, I'm telling you. I saw joy in that man. Sometimes I'd almost feel, you know, guilty. Like, what's wrong with me, man? I'm worried about something or something's going on. And I see Art and I'm like, man, that brother would fill me with joy. And I, you know, years after we met here at this church, and after a few years, we realized we went to high school together. We just didn't hang out. So, but as we were talking and everything, it's like, what? Yeah. He was a year older than me. But I remember him now, you know, and it's like, but I'm going to tell you what. He was abiding in Christ, and that brother had joy. And whenever I feel like something is going wrong, and I got a reason to complain, I think about my brother Art and just the attitude that he had. And you know, it's an inspiration. It will be for years for me. You know, I'll never forget my brother Art. So it's Christmas. So we need to go to Luke chapter 2, of course, right? Because we always read Luke chapter 2. You know, this is where it talks about the birth of Christ. I can probably recite this. I did so many Christmas plays when I was a kid. I mean, you hear it so many times over and over again. But in the first seven verses, it talks about the trip that Mary and Joseph took and how they had to come into Bethlehem and that Jesus was born, you know, in a stable basically or whatever, and he was placed in a food trough. And then in verse 8, now remember, that's happened. He's born. Wah. I don't think he was glowing, but I don't know. Okay. And then, excuse me, verse 8, it says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.'" Now, if you have the old King James Version, that was probably word for word. If you got the new King James, it wasn't. I have the new King James, but my brain read it in the old King James because I've heard it so many times. But so imagine the setting. Shepherds are out there watching their sheep. And then all of a sudden, bam, you know, and these angels, that's why they say, "And fear not," because it probably would inflict a little bit of fear on anybody that was watching that. But what amazes me is the people that God chooses to reveal himself to and the people he chooses to use in his plans. Why did he go to the shepherds? We don't know these shepherds. We don't know who they were, or we don't know them personally, do we? And, you know, I'm a city boy, but I think I have a country boy heart. My wife would probably agree with that. And, I mean, I don't have any chickens, but I like chickens. And you guys want to hear a chicken story? I got a lot of chicken stories, but... Ask me later, I'll tell you how to hypnotize a chicken. But in this chicken story is about 40 years ago. And I'm at my shop. And I look out there in the field there with the cars parked, and there's this chicken running around, you know. And boy, he's an ugly little chicken. And he's scruffy looking. And I mean, he's been out there living in the wild, so to speak. So I go get the neighbor, because it takes more than one man to catch a chicken. And man, we're circling around the cars, and finally, we got a hold of that chicken. He was little. He was ugly. And he had one extra toe. Yeah, the chicken had one extra toe. So the guy that lived next door, he had a bunch of chickens. And I said, "Well, you know, you should take him over there with your chickens." So he does. Now, he had his chickens running around in the yard. Okay, which, you know, that's not always a good thing. But He put that chicken out there. Now, he had some hens, and then he had this Rhode Island Red. I mean, that dude was about that tall. He was the most impressive chicken I think I ever saw. I said, yeah, put him out there with your chicken. So I come over there the next day, and he says, I'm going to kill that chicken. I'm like, what are you going to kill that chicken for? He says, look out there. And that little bitty six-toed, scrawny little chicken had that big giant chicken over in the corner. And that chicken, as long as he stayed in the corner, nothing would happen. But that big chicken came out about two steps. Whew, that little scrappy little guy would just start whooping the heck out of him, you know. I'm like, oh my gosh. You can't let that scrawny, scrappy-looking chicken keep that majestic-looking animal of yours in the corner like that, you know? Well, why do I tell that story? Because the chicken didn't look like much, but that chicken had a lot of heart, you know? And God, He uses people that don't look like much, but they got a lot of heart. And maybe those shepherds had a lot of heart. And we know the story of David and how he was chosen. And it wasn't because he was the biggest or the most impressive. Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. So in our story with the shepherds, what does the angel say to the shepherd? He says, don't be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to who? All people. All people. This joy is available to all people. That's what we need to remember. It's available to everyone. He didn't say, good tidings of great joy, which will be to the Jewish nation. No. Christmas is for everyone. We sing joy to the world. We don't sing joy to the people that know Jesus. Right? Because God's Son was sent on Christmas Day for the whole world. And it's joy to the world. And one person in New York can't cancel that. 2 Peter 3:9 says, God is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. It just reminds us, Christmas, it's an opportunity. Why are you so happy, man? Don't you know that COVID's out there? I got joy. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. What? You know, I got joy. You know, maybe you're in the line at the market with your mask on. And you say something, and they say, what? Because, you know, the mask, they can't hear what you're saying. You say, Merry Christmas. How can you say that with all that? And then you can share hope, joy, and peace with someone. Last thing I want to say about joy. It is born out of the fruit of the Spirit of love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Second thing, first thing is love, and then the first thing that comes out of love that is mentioned is joy. Okay? It's a byproduct of someone who is filled with the Spirit. If you're still filled with the Spirit, you're going to have joy. You don't have to conjure it up. You don't have to be like, I'm filled with the Spirit, man. Come on, joy. Come on out of there. No. You know, it's a fruit of the Spirit. You don't look out into the field. You don't see a fruit tree out there and, you know, the apples are, and the tree's not like straining. I got to pop an apple out, man. No. Whew, I had to work hard to get that apple. No, that tree don't have to work. It comes naturally. Christmas reminds us of the love that God has for us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. I guess that's a Christmas verse. Okay. I'm right on schedule. Peace. That'll be our last topic. Pastor Brandon talked a lot about peace on Sunday, didn't he? And we studied the peace of God. Philippians 4:7, it says, that surpasses all understanding. And we're going to talk about that. But as it pertains to Christmas, the first thing I want to talk about is not the peace of God, but peace with God. So turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. I love Romans. Okay, so there's the peace of God, and then there's peace with God. And in Romans 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, justified meaning just as if we'd never sinned, by our faith, because of that, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Before that, we did not have peace with God. We were at enmity with God. We didn't have peace. Okay, now, before Christmas, which that means before Jesus, before the first Christmas, how did the Jews have their temporary peace with God? Because they could achieve that. Well, the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So basically, for the Jews to have peace with God, every time they went to the temple and they had to sacrifice. I mean, I'd be up here, you know, and I like to hunt. Slaughtering animals would be kind of fun to me, but I'd have to be up here just, you guys would be bringing me all kind of stuff, and I'd be killing it and putting it on the altar, and then maybe I'd get the thing Moses, he used to sprinkle the blood on the people. What a messy thing, right? And then, as soon as that covered your sin, it was only temporary. You weren't at peace with God because now you're out sinning again and you got to go sacrifice something. I mean, it was a perpetual problem that people had because like the things that the world seeks after, it was only temporary. But what does Christmas remind us of? Our faith in Christ gives us continual peace with God. Because he came and died once for all sin, he doesn't have to die again. We don't have to re-crucify Christ. Now, we can find ourselves in sin. But that doesn't put us back at war with God. That just separates us from God. That just puts us in a place where we need to get it, make things right with God as far as communication goes. But because of what Jesus did, when we put our faith and trust in Christ, we are finally at peace with God. Now, Isaiah 9:6, that's a great Christmas verse. And Jesus in that verse is called or referred to as the Prince of Peace, isn't he? And it all began in Bethlehem. And of course we know it culminated with his death and resurrection. Now there's another passage in Romans. I love to read it. It has nothing to do with Christmas, and it has everything to do with Christmas. And it's over in chapter 8. So if you want to turn over there with me, we're going to begin in verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. I'll tell you what, that gives me peace right there. You know, and some people say they think Jesus is up there, I don't know, like our defense attorney. I've heard people say, oh, you know, interceding for us. I don't think that's how it works. The way he makes intercession is, we do something wrong, God looks at us, he sees Jesus. That's intercession right there. Okay? Now, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, or COVID-19? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Remember before I told you there's promises in God's word, and we know that because he's able to orchestrate things like a virgin birth on a date he predicted hundreds of years ago, certainly we can believe in these things, these promises that nothing separates us from God. Sometimes we think we've done something that separates us from God, and it does, but not from his love. And that's what it's talking about, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Man, that gives me a lot of peace. And it's because of Christmas. Christmas is the beginning of all of it. Now, that's peace with God. We're going to just close by talking a little bit about the peace of God. And you know, the peace of God is something, it's available to us all. But in some ways, we have to exercise our faith to obtain that peace. Let me give you an example of a situation where the peace of God, would be very valuable. Imagine you're an unmarried pregnant teenager traveling on the back of a donkey across the countryside searching for a place to stay. You go into labor, and the only place you can find is a place where they keep the animals. And you give birth in this place, and you place your newborn into a feed trough. Man, if that happened to me, I'd be needing some peace. You know what I'm saying? And when I think of some of my problems, and I look at that, and I think, God, why did you do it that way? Why? I can't figure that out. But I think, through all of that, I don't think Mary was anxious. I really don't. Joseph might have been. You know how husbands are. He'd be like, whoa, but Mary? You know, I think she's just like, God's got this. And that's, you know, that's how we have to think. You know, I mean, we have to realize God's got this. There's a lot of anxious people out there. I mean, we can go over the laundry list of 2020 into all of the reasons why they might be anxious. And then there's a lot of anxiety even from people, in people that have nothing to do with 2020's unique situations. Just the reality of life can make people anxious. You know. Let's go over to Philippians chapter 4, where Brandon's been teaching. Verse 6. I think that's where we're at. Let me find my notes. Yeah. Be anxious for nothing. He went over these verses on Sunday. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That's like, be anxious for nothing, pray for everything. And it says that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, pure, lovely, of good report, If there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So, you know, we have to exercise our faith, and we have to be filled with the Spirit, and we need to turn off channel 2 and open the Bible. And we need to focus on these things that God tells us to focus on. And He'll give us that peace. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Seems like every time I teach, I have to read these verses. I love these verses. Verse 1. Think about it in the context of 2020 and everything that's happening, and it's Christmas time. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, you can make those witnesses who you want to make them. Okay? But for the context of this, it's the people that are in the world watching us today, seeing how we're reacting around Christmas time. Lay aside every weight and sin which can trip you up, and run with endurance the race that God has set before you. And how are you successful in that? By looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And if you're feeling like there's a lot weighing you down, consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Look to Jesus as our example. You know, Jesus said in John 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." He said that to his disciples right after he was talking to them about the Holy Spirit and he was going to be leaving. But he also said things like, "Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Place your yoke upon me." You know, that's what we have to be able to do in this life. We can't carry all of the burdens. We can, but we shouldn't. Place our yoke upon him. So, I'm going to close with this. Christmas 2020. A great opportunity for us to express the hope, the joy, and the peace that we have in Christ. And remind the world that it all began 2,000 years ago in the tiny town of Bethlehem. That's where the Prince of Peace, the Son of God, the Alpha and the Omega, and all the other names that we know the Bible has for him, began his earthly ministry. And he can't be canceled. He can't be diminished. He can't be restricted. But he is good tidings of great joy for all people. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for your son. Thank you for the way you brought him into the world, Lord. You know, we see hardships in our life, and then we see how you brought your son into the world. Man, it's amazing the path that you chose him for him to live. And God, help us to be mindful that although we are in this world, we are not of this world. And though things that happen in this world affect us, we can't let them control us. We have to be your ambassadors in a world that is filled with fear and darkness. We need to be the light. We need to be like that Christmas star that all those people followed to find the Savior. that we would be the star they would follow. And as they follow us, they would find Jesus. God, we are so blessed to be here tonight. We are so blessed to be called your kids. And we know that Christmas is a direct representation of who you are and how you gave the greatest gift 2,000 years ago. And that gift is free to all men. Good tidings of great joy to all men, to all people. And so thank you, God, for reminding us of that tonight. And I pray your blessing upon all people, Lord. And I pray for those that don't know you, Lord, that somehow Christmas would draw them to you. And that you would even use one of us to be your instrument, Lord. So thank you for your word, God. And thank you for Calvary Chapel North Long Beach, Lord. And I just pray your blessing upon this church as we go into 2021, Lord. And we ask you to make 2021, you know, a quote, better year. But Lord, we know that when we are living our lives in you, it can never be better, Lord, because you are the best. We sing it. You are so good to me. And you are, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Well, there'll be pastors up here if you want some prayer. And if you're online and you need to connect with us, you can do that on Connect. And thanks for watching if you're at home. And now you can let the kids out of the closet and all that kind of stuff. God bless you guys. Good to me, you are.
goodness, in your goodness and mercy shall follow me all of my life. Now trust in your promise, your goodness and mercy shall follow me all of my life. Now trust in your promise,
because you are. Bless you guys. We'll see you here on Sunday.
is Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nation?
Thank you.